have Korean translation or Mandarin or some translation going with me, so it's going to take me a little while to get the rhythm going here. But I am really glad to be with you. You are the reason that YWAM exists. We are truly youth with a mission. Now you look at me and you say, does she really know? Yeah, I do. But I've still got a really young heart. Some of our DTS students, they were asking my grandkids, how old is your Papa Lauren? How old is your grandma? Oh, she said, my Papa Lauren, he's 70-something. My Nana Dar, me, she's either 21 or 22. I'm not sure which. And I never did correct her. I just never did, because that is who I feel like I am. You are coming new this morning, and you're kind of looking around, and you're wondering, well, who's cool and who's not? And because I've been around YWAMers for such a long time, I want to save you all that effort until you were all really cool. It's just a fact. YWAMers are cool. I think for most of you, you're about in your sixth week of your school. And I trust that this has really been a good experience for you. This mission that you are a part of is called Youth with a Mission. You know that, okay? You knew that when you applied, right? So Youth with a Mission, if you've got a mission, guys, there is just no place for anybody that's just a little ho-hum. You either get really in it, we're a group of a bunch of radical, obedient people. We are young people with a mission. The other thing you probably saw on the letterhead or on the website or wherever you were looking, it says to know God and make him known. All right? Well, that's what we're about to. It's to know God. That's what we want to do, and we want to make him known. So we're a bunch of radical people, have a mission. The majority of people are young. We are committed to making Jesus known. We're committed to knowing him, because you can't make somebody known that you don't know. We are a people who believe that God's word is the manual for all of life. We believe it's full of true stories written about real people that tells them what they did when they were good and when they were bad, and it relates to me. We are a people who believe that it's fine to ask questions. Jesus taught by asking questions. Over 300 times he asked questions. And in the Bible, it says where there was understanding is where there was really great productivity. That's where people had a great... So if you don't ask questions, how are you going to get understanding so you can tell somebody else so they can know who the living God is, right? So we are a people who believe in asking questions. We don't believe that there's a difference between the secular and the sacred. In other words, you can raise the dead or wash the dishes to the glory of God. You can preach and evangelize on the biggest platform to his glory. You can also pull weeds on work duty to the glory of God. I know you questioned that one. We actually come from all over the world. YWAMers carry about 211 different passports. We are about 22,000 people that are like myself and that are with us long term. We teach schools like we're doing today. We teach in over 100 different languages in a couple thousand locations in 160 countries. By the way, all the people that come to you, that teach you, that staff, that are a part of what you do, they come because they love you and they love what God's called them to. Nobody gets paid. That's a whole group of volunteers that don't have any reason to hang out with you except God called them to. Isn't that remarkable? Really? They came because God called them to. And there is a great honor in our being able to pass on what God's given to us. We have all kinds of ministries. One of the hard things to share about YWAM is what what kind of ministries you have. What do you guys do? Well, we minister to little kids, we minister to old people, and we have rappers, and we have classical musicians, and we have midwives, and we have cowboys for a mission, and we have dog groomers that go to dog shows and share the Jesus Christ there. We have people that work in the fashion industry. Oh, and we have people that go to hidden people groups that don't know the language, and try to help learn the language. If God's put something in you, some kind of talent, or one you're just still discovering, there's a place for you. That's what I love about this mission. People can do all kinds of things. Group of guys that really were into horses and horse riding and being able to do great tricks with horses, and thought, I wonder how God could use this. Ended up starting Cowboys with Mission and went to Mongolia. And we have those in Brazil that are working with rodeos there. The rodeo is a really big thing in Brazil. And actually, YWAMers are the chaplains at the rodeos. But in Mongolia, you don't have, within that culture, you don't have anything to say unless you're really good on a horse. So for that DTS, you know, they brought their Bible and their horse and their notebook. YWAMers pay their tuition for their schools in all kinds of ways. Some brings goats, some brings chickens, some bring rubles and all kinds of currency. But friends, we are a radical group of people who really believe when Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, that he meant it. We believe that God's word relates to you in such a very specific way that you personally can be transformed. We really believe that. And I'm a witness. I've seen a whole lot of it. I really have. The total transforming of our minds. Bible talks about our minds being renewed. That can be done. And then when that happens and we begin to relate that transforming power, we can see education changed. We can see business changed. We can see society changed. And so we are really excited about that. We are people that can pack really fast. We can sleep anywhere. Vans, floors, standing up, crowded, in the hot or the cold. We can eat lots of string things. Almost everybody loves ice cream. We can make beans and rice last a really, really long time. We have a love affair with maps, with flags, with anything that shows the international. And we love Jesus. Welcome to the tribe. There's a place for you. And we so long for you to see who it is that God made you. My assignment in coming to be with you is to share a little bit about the DNA of this mission. After all, I have been around a really long time. We're nothing special, guys. We're just a bunch of people that said yes to Jesus. That's all. And he had a unique place in the kingdom of God for us. It was carved out because we kind of fit what that was that he called us to. See, that's the really great part about God. He doesn't call you to stuff that you don't fit in. Cunningham was called to go into all the world. God put in his heart to go into every nation. He doesn't have to wake up in the morning and think, oh, I got this call. I got to go to every nation. How am I going to do it? It's going to cost so much. No, he loves the nations of the world. He has been to every nation in the world. And he does that because of a love for the nations that God put in his heart. Nothing that was imposed. Oh, and this difficult call that we have. I was with some of my friends last evening, and we were talking about the fact that what a privilege we have to be able to do what we love to do. And I want you to have an understanding that that's what God's called us to, is to something that we love to do. Our Maori protocol welcome carries within it, friends, something that is so important for us. In each and every culture, you can find so much of who God is, and we can learn so much. As you're going on your outreach, as you're moving into new places, carry that within your heart. Say, God, your thumbprint's in this place. It's in a way that I haven't seen before. And you're looking for it. But what Ray and Shadrach were doing for us, and this is something that's strong in the Maori culture, it is across the South Pacific too, but I think in the Maori culture, they make this more central, and it's something we all can learn from. And it's part of my assignment today. In that they say when they come to us, hey, I didn't come here. I'm not standing here by like Ray and Shadrach all by myself, as we as Westerners often do. My ancestors are a part of who I am. I carry within me the genetic code of a grandfather. One of the Maori men was given an honor within YWAM, a position in which he was taking leadership of. When he came for that ceremony to have the leadership, he had his grandparents, he had his parents, he had a school teacher. He had somebody from his church, and I've forgotten a couple of other people, that represented the people that have invested into their lives. And there was, they said, what my actions of my ancestors made a difference. And I think it's something for us to so learn that we respect that which was gone before us. And the place in New Zealand carries a really special place in our hearts for how the YWAM was formed. So this morning I'm going to show you some pictures. We have such a wonderful screen and a great way to do this, so this is going to be great. Our week together, worship will be very much a part of what we do. It is the application part. The words to the songs are going to help us nail down what we have just learned. So we won't probably have a worship and then a speaker and then the break. We'll stop and we'll apply it. And so when we walk into this process, folks, Sam and the team are as much a part of what's going to happen this week as I am. This is going to be orchestrated together, so as you listen with all of your heart, which of course I know you're going to do, I don't want you to then turn off and, this is the worship time and I don't particularly like this particular song. No, don't do that. Let's together say, Jesus, what are you speaking to me? I so hope that God will help me to engage your mind that'll cause you to really think about some things. Because it's really, 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 really important that you know what you believe and why you believe it. And you know what you don't believe and why you don't believe it. Guys, we are in an absolute crisis across the world for leadership. Because people say, I believe this. And then the polls show that some of the people don't believe that. So now I don't believe that anymore. And we don't have any anchors to lean on. Everything shifts for public opinion. And we have to be a people that know what we believe and why we believe it. And we share Jesus' love with people in a passionate way. And just because I don't believe something is right does not mean that I'm critical and harsh. But it means that I do know what I believe. And I love you. We may think very differently about this, but it doesn't mean that I have to bombard you and hit you over the head with my Bible. That's not what I'm talking about, friends. But we seem to have come to a place that we believe we either say yes and are vanilla and have no opinion about anything, or we stand up and we're rigid and we're rules and we're regulation. And Jesus wasn't like that at all. He wasn't like that at all. So we want to, in this time, learn to have more of what Jesus is, right? And so as we together engage before the Spirit of God, I'm just expecting him to give us more enlightenment. I'm always learning too. I sure don't know it all. I'll try to always be really honest with you, share where we've made mistakes as well. So as we commit this week to the Lord, may you know that Jesus is within you. Holy Spirit's within you. He's within each and every one of us. He's not just with me or anybody stands. You know, this is a square where the Holy Spirit resides. It's not like that. He's within you. And so God's going to be giving you revelation. And let's bless each other with that revelation. Let's bless each other with what he's doing. So would you just stand up now? And I'd just like for you to say, God, I just give myself to you for these days. I ask for illumination to my mind, an expansion of my heart. Help me to get to know you better. And for whatever it's worth, this time that I am within this mission, may I have an understanding of what God's call is to this mission and be able to understand where my call fits. So just take a few minutes with the Lord, would you? You do it in whatever way you want to. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. And now I would just like for you to turn to the person beside you and say, I'm so glad that Jesus is within you. I bless you. I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit dwells within you. May he be awakened in you, however you want to say it. But would you just pray for one another and just bless one another. Remind yourself that Jesus is in them. You may be seated. Youth of the Mission is over 50 years old. In 2010, we celebrated our 50th birthday and had a remarkable time. We had a one-year party, which was fantastic. I am sort of one of these event planner people, so it was amazing, and I love parties and celebrations. It was amazing for one whole year to go to parties I never planned at all. Didn't have to worry about anything. But as we learned and I figured out, we probably met with 32,000 different YWAMers. And we went around the world 2.5 times. I was telling them last night at dinner, we had 109 flights. We were in places like Mongolia and China, all over the world. And in 1 year, not one flight was even 10 minutes late. No turbulence, nothing. We just went from one place to another. And YWAMers love to celebrate. So we celebrated all over the world with remarkable color and dance and pageantry. And if we were up in Nepal and wrapped up in furs, or we were someplace else where they were coming in with candles and flags, all of that celebrating the nations. And during that time, they made a video that told a little bit about Lauren and myself and a little bit of our background. And I thought that's kind of the easiest way for you to get to know us. And then I'll take it from there. And this has always been requested by our DTSers in Kona. So I figured, well, you'd probably want it too. So let's go ahead and see that. It's about 10 minutes.
First of all, I grew up, you know, in the cocoon of a godly family that always sought God. They talked about leadings.
I was called to be a missionary when I was 9 years old. I had a remarkable experience in the Holy Spirit. My closest connection to missions was my Uncle Claire, who was a missionary in China. And I thought the Chinese people must be the most important people in the whole wide world because my uncle was in concentration camp, willing to lay his life down for them. I had a vision given to me very clearly when I was called. And so I assumed that probably meant China because I saw Asian children within this vision.
What I saw in 1956, June, on a Wednesday, I was at a missionary's home there in the Caribbean, and I was praying about a group I was to preach to tonight of young people. And that's when I saw this whole vision, because I'm wide awake, I'm kneeling by the bed, and I'm seeing this whole vision of waves. And it was topographical and it's global. And I see seeing these waves coming into continents. And so that I saw, And then it turned into young people from everywhere going everywhere. And I'm seeing all this picture, and it was massive, it was millions. And then I didn't know, because I didn't think about why. I thought God's going to do something. And I want to catch this one. I was speaking in Nigeria in 1961 as a single young guy, and you'll see that Darlene is co-founder. We met in 62, and there would never have been anything lasting without Darlene. So we married in 63, but she is a co-founder. I know that because we couldn't have founded this movement, although we had elements of it from the beginnings, but it never would have taken root.
And I can remember before we were married, him putting the map before me. We were going on a trip around the world and talking to me about the nations of the world and God's thumbprint in the cultures and how to perceive all of this. And I mean, something was so imparted to me that I went into every situation with just such a heart of joy and desire to see God in the culture.
It really was possible to take the gospel to every creature. The students were trained by Lauren Cunningham on how they could prove that there is a God to a modern world, to the intellects of our generation. They learned that true Christianity is the most intelligent way of life, the only philosophy that could be honestly lived.
In 1972, for 16 days, Munich, Germany became the center of the world. 2 million people gathered together for the Olympic Games.
I'm so happy when I think of the babies we have saved, but there is a work that is more important, and that is not saving lives, but saving souls.
We can reach an entire generation, every creature, and the promise is implicit in the commandment. When he says, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that's your commandment.
The God of Abraham sent me.
Who are you that God should speak to you?
My name is Jeremiah.
And now we have something very exceptionally special for you.
Once upon a time, long, long ago, there was the most magnificent, incredibly beautiful village by the sea. Now, in this village by the sea, everyone was very, very happy and very, very good. Well, almost always very good, but every now and then, the prince who reigned over the village would come to visit and become very, very sad. Why was he sad? Because he saw there were new people in the village that didn't know all the rules. And when they didn't know all the rules, they couldn't obey them.
Well, wasn't that fun? We met a lot of really neat people.
How can they live without Jesus? How can they live without
Would you please welcome the founder of Youth with a Mission, Mr. Lauren Cunningham.
Glad to see you. It is called the Pacific and Asia Christian University. I believe that it's time for a new move of God in education.
Why would somebody with your distinguished academic background, tremendous scientific training, go to work for a Christian school?
Well, the main reason, Pat, is that God called me.
For maybe they don't understand it, or maybe they just haven't heard.
He's just a brother with a great vision from God, and I want to introduce him. Come on out, Lauren.
I want to speak to you about this decade of destiny, and your decade of destiny is now.
And if you've been burned, here's what I've learned. You know the Lord's not the one to blame. For he's not religion, thank God, with steeples and belts, or a salesman.
I now declare the Pacific and Asia Christian University commissioned and dedicated to the glory of God, the extension of Christ's kingdom to every nation, and the completion of Christ's great commission in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Go into all the world and preach the gospel.
YWAM has been called to be a visionary organization, doing new things in new ways, many times in new places.
We want to declare his praise and his glory all over the world.
100 years after Jesus, every true believer had 360 non-believers to win to Christ. 1,000.
First of all, I
live without Jesus. How can they live?
Would you please welcome the founder of Youth with a Mission, Mr. Long.
Go into all the world and preach the gospel.
YWAM has been called to be a visionary organization, doing new things in new ways, many times in new places.
We want to declare his praise and his glory all over the world.
100 years after Jesus, every true believer had 360 non-believers to win to Christ. 1,000 years after Christ, they only had 220 to win to Christ. By 1500 AD, as the missionaries had gone throughout the world, there were now only 69 non-believers for every follower of Jesus. By the year of 2000, there were only 27 to 1. By the year of 1950, there were 21 to 1. But by 1980, it had come down to 11 to 1. And now, by 1989, last year, there was only 7 non-believers for every true Great Commission Christian in the whole world. You better hurry up. The world is getting one for Jesus.
To the ends of the earth, let every nation tell it, declare it, till every man is heard.
In Israel, hundreds of Christians have ended a 3-year journey to seek forgiveness for wrongdoings committed centuries ago.
We give you glory, 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 glory. You are the mighty God. You are the mighty God.
Thank you.
Jesus is winning. Jesus is winning. I want you to say it again. Jesus is winning. I want to prove it to you tonight, but say it again. Jesus is winning.
In this grassroots movement, primarily with young people, but those young people have grown up. And now they have the capacity, we trust, to be prime ministers, heads of education. The experiment certainly is over. God is who he said he is, and what he says will indeed be accomplished. The strength of God teaching us about hearing his voice, I'm just more convinced than ever that the deep understanding of knowing God's character is what takes us through. And the emphasis on God sovereignly speaking to a person and us having enormous respect for that. You see the fruit of that everywhere. I hope we can be around for as much of it as possible.
Of. When you became a YWAMer, you are a YWAMer for life, really. You may have a short experience, but it'll stay in your DNA. It's going to be a part of you. When we talked about the Pacific and Asia University, that took place in Kona, and that was where the University of the Nations was the first name that we had. Soon we realized it was more than Pacific and Asia that God had called us to. So that gave you a little bit of that history. As I come to you, I represent these people from around the world. Represent those people that have said yes to Jesus. But let me just show you something that's happening currently now and bring you just a little minute more up to date at this time, okay? The next one. Answer the call. I mean, you don't have to answer the call. That's the name. That's great.
Today, there are 529 unengaged, unreached people groups with populations of more than 2,500 remaining, leaving approximately 73 million people with no Christian witness whatsoever. But preaching alone is not enough to meet this need and finish the Great Commission. For the gospel to take root in these cultures, the Bible must be made accessible. Currently, 340 million people remain without access to any scripture in their mother tongue. Youth of the Mission, or YWAM, is a volunteer movement like no other. With 550-plus campuses in more than 100 countries, training missionaries to go into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples of all nations. At the heart of Youth of the Mission are teams of dedicated individuals united in their passion to know God and make Him known. YWAM initiatives harness technology, innovation, arts, and media as catalysts for evangelism and Bible literacy. In the original School of Evangelism and many discipleship training schools, young missions volunteers get their start sharing God's word with the lost in word and deed. YWAM ministries include Heartbridge performing arts teams, who tour every year in four or more continents, preaching the love of God in dance, drama, and song. Voice for the Voiceless demonstrates the truth of the gospel through acts of compassion, face-to-face evangelism, and through media campaigns that give voice to victims of injustice. Elevated Music takes music ministry teams to closed nations, reaching out through inspired music. The School of Photography and School of Illustration are training Christian artists to visually communicate God's heart for the nations. 4K World Mapping strategically locates the areas of greatest need for the gospel's transformational power. YWAM Ships brings good news to the most remote islands in the world, giving isolated islanders access to clean water technology, medicine, and scripture. Fire and Fragrance sends passionate young disciples of Jesus on prayer-fueled outreaches to people and places that have never experienced God. Impact World Tours bring the truth of Jesus to young people in arenas around the world using a powerful mix of extreme sports, cultural arts, and visual media. Over 20 years, Homes of Hope teams have worked with vulnerable families in Latin America to build more than 3,000 safe and sturdy houses. Each home inspires faith, provides protection, and helps break the cycle of poverty. Create International produces films, websites, cartoons, and print publications to present Jesus in culturally relevant stories to unreached people groups. As people receive the truth of the gospel, new ways of understanding the Bible are essential to long-term spiritual growth. Crown Ministries, or Christ Revealed on World Networks, distributes the Bible in hundreds of languages to remote peoples through the internet, while providing tech solutions to multiply missions efforts. Word by Heart is bringing the Bible to stages across the globe, teaching students to memorize an entire gospel and share it in captivating presentations. Uniscript. This revolutionary linguistics innovation, developed at University of the Nations, makes the Bible accessible to people groups who are non-literate or subliterate by enabling them to read in their own language in just a matter of days. Scriptures are able to be distributed using this script-based writing system. Uniscript has already been adapted for use in Mandarin Chinese, English, Portuguese, and Pacific Island languages, bringing these language groups closer to the Word of God. SourceView Bible is a revolutionary new screenplay-style presentation of Scripture that brings the Word to life. And the SphereView Bible shows God's desire to impact every area of society. The Online School of Biblical Studies, Field-Based School of Biblical Studies, and other virtual Bible training programs are training the next generation of preachers and teachers of the Word. These and many other powerful and innovative YWAM ministries are bringing the good news of Jesus to the ends of the earth. The truth of the Bible is transforming lives and uniting this worldwide movement. Will you be one of those who will answer the call to go to everyone, everywhere? Your life can make a difference for people who have never experienced His love. Join Youth with a Mission to bring God's Word to the world today.
And everybody said, amen. What do you have in your hand? Take a look at your hand. Come on, take a look at your hand. Those fingerprints are not like anybody else's. What do you have in your hand? What is it that God's made you to be? This is the question that God asked Moses. Moses, what do you have in your hand? Oh, well, it's this stick. It's this rod. It's a staff. Now, how come God asked him a question? Couldn't he see what he had in his hand? No, he wanted to provoke his thinking. Book of Job, 200 questions. What was that about? God didn't know the answer. No, he was provoking the thinking. What do you have in your hand? And God said to Moses, I want you to throw it down. Now, that rod represented his security and represented his experience. And that's what God said to you when you said, yeah, I'm going to go to that school or I'm going to come be part of that staff. You had to throw down what you were already confident in. Throw down what your experience was. And it turned into a snake, which is really kind of scary. And then God spoke to Moses and said, pick it up. And he said, pick it up by the tail. That's not how you pick up a snake. Some time ago, I was down in the Amazon. And I was going from one place to another, and just between these two cabins, and there was this great big snake. And I'm yelling, snake, snake, snake! And some of the Brazilian guys came up to me and said, darn, that's just a little snake. It'll only take down a chicken. I said, well, that's me. I'm out of here. I would have been like Moses. I would have needed an audible word from God to pick up that snake. But God said, pick it up. Now, this is what happened, guys. When he threw down his experience, when he threw down what he was secure in, now that stick not just had the handprint of Moses, it now has the handprint of God. And you know many times in the Bible when God said to Moses, come on, grab that stick and let's go do a miracle. I'm going to prove myself great. It no longer has just the handprint of Moses. It has the handprint of the living God on it as well. What do you have in your hand? This doesn't look like a giant killer, but it is. Let me tell you the story. There was this man, and he had quite a few sons, and he had one son that came along later than the others. His name was David. And the older sons had to go into the military, and they were fighting in a battle. And the father was like many of your parents, worried about the boys and worried about their kids being gone and, you know, are they getting enough to eat? How many of you on your first text or phone call was, how's the food? Are you getting enough to eat? I see lots of people that's like that. Well, that was the same with his father. He wanted to know, was he getting enough to eat? And so he puts these care packages together. And he's no doubt thinking, well, they like the raisins and somebody else likes the cheese. And he's putting a lot of thought into that. And then he wants to be sure that the captain knows he's a loving, caring father. So he sends a little extra package and says, give this to the captain of the military. And so David, the young son, he obeys his dad and he goes into the military to see his father. To do as his father said, to see his brothers. I think in all of our cultures, it's the same. Big brother, little brother. Big sister, little sister. What are you doing here? I'm here because Dad sent me. No, you're not. You just came because you wanted to see what was happening. No, I didn't. I came because Dad wanted. Hey, what's that sound? What's that? What's happening? And he hears the giant roaring around. And guys, we don't see that David suddenly starts running and is scared. He is concerned because this guy is coming against the living God. And he said, hey, what'll happen to the people that take care of this giant? And he begins to ask a few questions. Now, Saul, who was the commander over all that military, he must have really been in a panic. The guy had won all kinds of battles before. They'd sung songs about him and his great victory, so it wasn't like he was some novice or weak in his leadership. But he's desperate because this huge giant cannot be defeated. So the young David, he calls for him. And as he calls for him, he said, "Who's your dad?" and asked some questions. And then he said, "How do you think you could take care of this giant?" And this young kid says, "When I was taking care of my dad's sheep," probably bored out of his mind, don't you think? And that's where he'd be practicing on the slingshot and singing songs to God and rhyming poems. And in the midst of that, a bear comes at one time and a lion comes. And this is what he said. "The Spirit of God came upon me." He didn't say, "Oh, it was my great technique." He said, "The Spirit of God came upon me, and I took the lion down. That's why I think I could do something." So now, Saul, he's sort of like my generation, okay? We've had some experience. We've had some success. We know how to do a few things. And so it's natural that I want to help you do what you do. And of course I can do that. But where we have to be careful is that Saul said, "Here, put my armor on. Be me." And David, he wants to be respectful of him. And so he says, "Well, sure, I'll try it." But when he tries that, it doesn't fit too well. And he can't do it. And so in respect, he says, "It doesn't fit me." But David took what fit him. He took the slingshot where he had experience. And you know the rest of the story. He went down there and he slung that slingshot around. And the giant came tumbling down based on the skill and practice that David had. What do you have in your hand? Well, it's a little bit of bread, a little bit of fish, and there's 5,000 people. I mean, it's really kind of embarrassing. We know this isn't going to work. This is the story. Jesus and his disciples had been all day long ministering. They had given of themselves. And in the Bible, it talks about there are a lot of times when Jesus worked so hard, he didn't get a chance to eat or to rest at all. So this must have been one of those kind of days. It's the end of the day. Jesus sees like that they're tired. He said, "Come on, let's go. It's time for us to get a rest." And as they go, they must have gone in some public way because people begin to see that it was Jesus. And they begin to follow Jesus. And they begin to cry out for help. And they had people that were sick. And Jesus' heart was moved with compassion. Sometimes this will happen to you on Outreach, guys. You're really tired. You've worked really hard all day. It is only right that you get a chance to rest. And then another ministry opportunity comes up. And when I feel like this, I always remember this story. So Jesus said, "My heart's moved with compassion." And he gathered the people together. Now here we have this impossible situation. It's the end of the day. The people are really, really hungry. And it's too far for them to walk. They may faint. And Jesus said, "These guys need to be fed." And I'd be like one of those disciples saying, "Do you realize how much food that would be?" And I would just start organize it all. So they bring this little bit of food to Jesus. Jesus talks to the Father about the little bit of food. Now the little bit of food goes into 12 baskets. Whoa, that's quite a miracle. 12 baskets isn't going to help me with 5,000, by the way. But when did the miracle of multiplication take place? When they begin to act. When they begin to put their hand in the basket and begin to pass it out. The first guys, I'd be like this, just a little bit. Then I'd look over there at Peter, and everybody knows fishermen can't count, and he's great, big handfuls. And I'm thinking, it multiplies. Jesus could have done this, guys, any way he wanted to. He could have had Happy Meals fly down to everybody's lap. But this was really quite a remarkable delivery system, wasn't it? Where would you have stored fish for 5,000? How would you have passed it all out? It was remarkable. Some years ago, we were back in Switzerland where we used to minister, and one of the YWAMers there is overseeing a home for the elderly. And she said, "Dar, do you want to come and see this lady? She's a 100-year-old missionary." I said, "Sure, I'd love to meet a 100-year-old missionary." So I go up there to meet her, and I stick out my hand. I say, "My name is Darlene. I am a missionary." What? My name is Darlene, and I am a missionary. What? Oh, you are a missionary? Yeah, I am a missionary. She said, "I am a 100-year-old missionary. And do you know what I know? I do the little part. He does the big part." That's what the miracle of the fish was about, guys. They were doing the little part, and he was doing the big part. Some years ago, we had some teams in Uganda. There were 18 of them. Across the continent of Africa, the AIDS epidemic is there, just rampant. Much, much loss of life. And it's a very serious problem. Uganda was very much like that. And these 18 YWAM kids said, "God, what do you want us to do here in Africa?" And he says, "Take on the AIDS epidemic." Oh, sure, you know. Here we are, this international team. We don't have too many health experts with us, blah, 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 blah. Remember what Josh said when we first started? We have a God who wants to speak. And when God speaks, things happen. It just does. And so these kids said, "Okay, God, what would you have us do?" He said, "I want you to start meeting people in the schools. I want you to talk about how to prevent it. I want you to set up some clinics." And he gave them a whole plan. And then just to prove he could do it, he healed some people of AIDS. The next 2 years later, when the UN put their statistics out, there was one country that had reduced the epidemic of AIDS by 2%. It was Uganda. Our YWAMers ended up in Parliament in England because they noticed what had happened. You see, we look at impossible situations. What in the world are we going to do about child trafficking? What can we do about prostitution? What can we do about this enormous need for clean water? What can we do about famine? What in the world can we do about the refugee crisis across Europe? What can we do? Well, we just take the little bit that we have and we get started. It's our job to get started. It's our job to bring what we have to Jesus. Jesus talks to the Father. He multiplies it. It's still not enough. Do you know when they knew they had enough? When they fed the 5,000, the last row back there, that last group. They didn't know it till then. There was no guarantee. The basket didn't all suddenly increase. The bread didn't increase. They didn't know it until they put the hand in the basket and they multiply and put it in, and God did the multiplication. God puts before us impossible challenges all of the time. But when he says it, we do it. When God began to speak to Lauren and Darlene about Youth with a Mission, it didn't make any sense to anybody. This was, if you wanted to be a missionary, you had to go through a certain amount of training, certain amount of seminary, Bible school, you had to pastor. You couldn't be a missionary if you were a young person. There were no short-term missionaries, and missionaries were pretty well just Westerners. Not exclusively, but a very, very small percentage would come from another country. And God begins to speak to Lauren about these things, that young people could be missionaries, that we could go cross-cultural, that non-Westerners could be missionaries, that missionaries could be, it was an international calling and interdenominational. None of those things made sense, except that the Bible is the manual for all of life, full of true stories, right? Okay. Well, we see that God used young people. David was the youngest. Joseph was the youngest. We even say in the culture when it always should be the older brother get the blessing, that God in the Old Testament twisted it up and he blessed the younger brother rather than the older brother. God wants to use young people. And God began to speak to us that he wanted to use young people. This was such a foreign concept. Not fully understood by any means. And we started this grand experiment. Now, I was at this time about 24 years old. Lauren would have been 28. There weren't any models that went before us, okay, in this particular kind of thing. But God. Years ago, when we were doing the research for Is That Really You, God? We had to get out all these old files and all. I found a little manual that we wrote for going on outreach before we had any experience. And you could take it today. That was God taking our little bit and blessing it. We make ourselves available, and God says, go for it, and we go for it, and amazing things happen. That first summer when we took out young people, we didn't know what we were doing. We knew God. And God did all these amazing miracles. And we realized, hey, God can really use young people. And God spoke to us about if he was calling us to lead young people, then we were to recognize that you, as a young person, when you listen to God, there's no limit to what you can do. The whole thing is you listening to God. It's like in the Bible, Paul says to Timothy, hey, you're really young. Pay attention to what you say. Be careful about these things. But don't forget, the Spirit of God's on you. Remember, the resurrected Jesus lives within you. And guys, when you do that, it is amazing what God can do. And that was our experience. A group of boys were going out to an island, and this huge storm came up. And the captain said, we're going back. This is down in the Caribbean. The captain said, we're going back. And they said, yeah, but they're expecting us. And they said, we have to get there. And the captain says, one drop of water gets into this ship, and we're going back. And they prayed. And in the words of the captain, He said it was like the hand of God came and pressed the water flat, and that boat went through that pathway of the pressed water. When he got off, he announced on the island, listen to these boys, they're from God. Listen to these boys, they're from God. And the church they started exists today. Because they just listened to God. And to our amazement, friends, God blessed what we were doing. We were so astonished. There's one or two lines in that really good book called Is That Really You, God? I know the author. I really like him. But this story is my favorite story to tell you really what it was like. This girl, her name was Sharon. She's from Oakland, California, and her partner, this is again in one of the Caribbean islands, and they come up to this guy, and he's standing under a tree, and his arm's like this. And Sharon said, do you know there was a guy in the Bible like that? He had a withered arm like that, and Jesus prayed for him, and he was healed. Would you like us to pray for you? So Sharon laid her hand on his arm, and the arm shot out perfectly well. And she fainted dead on the spot. And honest to goodness, that was the way it really was. God, God, you really did it. I mean, people really did come. Young people really are coming with us. The supernatural really is happening. You really are speaking to us. And God wants to prove himself great, friends. We just take that little bit that we have and we bring it to him, and he blesses it. It's a remarkable experience. as Lauren and I went on and we shared, we lived out of the back of a Volkswagen van. Anywhere they were kids, we said, come, go with us. And to our astonishment and everybody else's, they went. Now, our own denomination and people, because it was not within the culture to do what we were doing. The Peace Corps was actually just starting at the same time. When the Peace Corps in Washington, D.C. heard what we were doing, they actually invited Lauren to come back to see if they could recruit him to do what we were doing for the Peace Corps. But we explained that we were looking for internal transformation of people, and that competed with what they were talking about. But the whole thing with young people going was an absolutely new thought, but God was in it. And I can remember when all of our denominational ties were cut. Now, it just seems so strange to you, because interdenominational is a way of life. We have no idea what denomination somebody is, and it really doesn't make any difference. But in those days, dear ones, if you were a Baptist, you only hung out with Baptist people. If you were a Pentecostal, you only hung out with Pentecostals. If you were a Brethren, you really only hung out with Brethren. And so this was an entirely different way of thinking. And so we had a lot of security within our own denomination. Both of our fathers were well known. Lauren had become well known, even though he was still very young. And so that opened up the doors for us in many, many places. And when that door closed, was very dramatic for us. But it's a day I'll not ever forget. We were sitting in the car, and I looked at Lauren, and I said, well, if we really believe in this mission, Youth with the Mission, then we have to come to the place that if nobody goes with us, if we don't ever get ourselves in front of other young people, it's you and me. But we can't quit. I can work as a nurse. You can work as a professor. We'll go out every summer. We can still do this. And there comes that time, guys, where if nobody else is worried about what you're going to do or helping you what you do, you make the decision. I'll take this little bit of bread and fish. That's my place. That I'll do that. And we did that. And to our astonishment, people still wanted to come. What do you have in your hand? Well, it's just this little bit of oil. It's not very much. The vessel's not full. And my husband was a pastor. He has no retirement. He died. There's a famine in the land. My kids are going to starve to death. And the prophet said to this widow lady, what do you have in your hand? And she said, this little bit of oil. He said, go get vessels, not a few. Now, when the word of the Lord comes to you, go get vessels, not a few, how many would you get? How much effort would you make? Now, I know what I'd do, okay? I told you I'm the organizer type. So I would think, oh, I don't want to ask you for your vessels at lunch because you'll be using them. I'll wait and I'll ask for them. And then where would I store them and what will I do if I break any and I'm doing all of that? This man I'm married to, I know exactly what he would do, okay? He'd say, Dar, the man said, go get vessels, not a few. We don't know how many that is. Let's get a truck. Let's go to this village. Let's go to that village. I'm saying, Lauren, where will we store them? I don't care where we'll store them. He's going to say, vessels, not a few. How many are we going to get? How much oil was there? If you know this story, guys, they brought the vessels back. Prophet says, that's it. Let's go inside, close the door. And as they begin to pour out the oil, it stopped when there were no more vessels. How much effort are you willing to make? I don't have very much. I don't have very much to give. Oh, yeah, you do. Come on. Take a little action. Go for it. And that was where God was so gracious to us, as these two young people, and believing that if God said, go get vessels, not a few, we better get going and get a few more vessels. And as we begin to see this multiplied, what we would do, we would go anywhere there were kids, say, come go with us. Then we would have what we would call orientation, and we'd talk for 3 days, and then we'd go out and do an outreach. Now, the reason we talked for 3 days, that's all Lauren and I knew. We couldn't have talked for four. We could only do three. We gave them everything we had right then. But God would do these remarkable miracles, friends, because he wanted to have vessels, not a few. He wanted to go for. What do you have in your hand? Well, it's a bottle of perfume. It's really beautiful. It's very expensive. This is a story out of the book of Luke. I don't know too much about the story, but the Bible says that this lady was a great sinner, and everybody knew it. I think she must have been a prostitute. How did she have the courage to go to that house where she knew everybody would be against her, where she'd be criticized? Was she walking along and Jesus looked at her like no man had ever looked at her? Or did she stand in the back of the crowd and hear, I don't know what happened. I just know that she had courage. So she came into where Jesus was with all these religious leaders. And she began to pour this beautiful perfume, this wonderful fragrance on his feet. And immediately, not only did they not criticize her, they criticized Jesus for having anything to do with her. And this is what he said. You didn't take care of me. She took care of me. You didn't wash my feet when I came in. She has not quit crying and washing my feet. And then he did this little story. He said there were two guys that owed a lot of money. One of them a real lot, the other a little less. And the man they owed it to forgave them. Which one of them do you think was the most grateful? Well, they said the one that owed the most. He said, she who is broken, in other words, has the greatest capacity to love me the most. Hey, you think you're too broken? Jesus specializes in that. You've made a bunch of dumb choices. You feel like you're not going to break through. Hey, he specializes in it. It's a sweet-smelling fragrance to him. Your brokenness will actually, you have a greater capacity to love him because you've needed him more greatly than somebody else. Isn't that wonderful? So your brokenness actually qualifies you for a greater love for Jesus. Hey, go for it. And that's what God's called us to, not be able to. We didn't have some hoops that a whole bunch of people had to walk through and some requirements. Just come as you are if you love Jesus. There's no limit to what he will do. Come on, take that brokenness that you have and give it to Jesus. He will defend you. Some people might have said to you, hey, what in the world are you doing going to that youth with a mission thing? You ought to go to a proper university. Oh, I see, it's true. Jesus takes what you have, and it's a sweet-smelling fragrance to him. What do you have in your hand? Well, it isn't much, but it's really all I've got. It's just a couple of pennies. But somehow when I gave it to Jesus, it made a huge difference. What do you have in your hand? Oh, it's this old piece of fabric. Doesn't look like much, but let me tell you. It belonged to this grumpy prophet. It's the story of Elijah and Elisha. And this grumpy prophet, I was following him, and he was my leader, and I knew from God that he was going to leave, and I wanted what he had. I wanted it. And so the day came, and I go, I know he's going to go be with God that day. And I'm walking out, and as I'm walking along, his peers in the school, it was, I don't know if it was a DTS, it was a School of the Prophets, but it was that kind of place. And the other students said, hey, what are you doing? The old prophet, he's going to go. What are you following him? And he said, what is that to you? I'm going after it. And then the prophet himself turns back to the young guy and says, hey, go on home. You don't have to follow me. No, no, no. I'm going after it. I'm going to go after my inheritance. How much are you going to press through, guys? You're going to do so much more than we ever have done. So much more. There's a double anointing waiting for you. He has his unique handprint right on you. Right there. That's who you are. Are you going to hang on to what you're already secure in, what you already have an experience in, or are you willing to throw it down? Will you take whatever that gift is in you, the slingshot? Will you use that for the glory of God? And when other people maybe look down and, what are you doing here? Are you sure you've got the right motivation? I'm going after it. Somebody else, well, you got to do it like I did. This was where I had my success. You wear this like I did. No, sorry. I got to do it in the way that God's called me. We are a mission, you guys, that specializes in young Davids. If it's never been done before, we're the people for you. We want to see it done in new and novel and new ways. It's what God's called us to do. That's why there's so much variety in this mission. We specialize in people with a slingshot. What do you have in your hand? Well, I'm telling you, it's not near enough to do anything with. I've just got the bread and fish. But Jesus, we do the possible. He does the impossible. What do you have? Oh, it's not enough. It's just this little bit of oil. It won't feed anybody, myself, or even the people around me. But the man of God said, go get vessels, not a few. How many are you going to get, guys? How much effort will you make? If you make the effort, you will be absolutely, totally, and completely 100% amazed at what can happen. Go after that double anointing that's for you. There are so many things that God wants to do through you. I stand before you just as a witness. Not better, for sure. More experienced, for sure. But with having seen what God can do through young people when we make ourselves available. Would you just stand with me as we end this particular time? I'm going to ask you to come, Sam. Would you just stand now? Take that hand of yours. Stick it out there before the Lord. Now, would you allow the nail-pierced hand, the hand of Jesus, to be put on your hand with your gifts, your calling? All I want to do for you guys this week, guys, is to be a witness to the greatness of God. To be able to say to you, there isn't anything you can't do if you'll just give it all to him. But every story I've told you guys, it's some act of obedience that God required. He didn't just put the Happy Meals down there. They had to take what they had. Would you just give your hands back to the Lord and who it is and say to him, Lord, I want the power of the nail-pierced hand on this hand. Let's just focus in now on who Jesus is, his ability to do that in you as we end this first session.